Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The absolute unbending justice of a holy God is quite a foreign consideration in the minds of the multitude who profess faith in Christ. It has been replaced with a consideration of the Lord of Heaven as being something of a pathetic would-be benefactor who desires to do more than he is allowed to do by the very creation which his own hands have made. He is presented as one who is helplessly standing by as men determine whether or not he can save them and bless them or even be their God apart from their permission. He is believed by many to have his hands completely tied by the free will of his own creation. Yet he is that one whom the singers of the Song of Moses and the Lamb describe this way, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." He is that one whom John saw and testified, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth." God is fundamentally just, will not wink at sin, hates the workers of iniquity, and will uphold his justice in the destruction of the wicked. Moses was called by the Lord to behold a burning bush which was not consumed, and was inhabited by him who is a consuming fire. Later on, he appeared to Moses on a mountain that was filled with fire and smoke, giving to Moses a law which promised cursing and destruction upon all who would stray from it. Moses asked the Lord for a glimpse of his glory. Surely Moses must have expected some conflagration of terror to be set forth. We can only imagine the consternation that must have gripped him in heart and mind when the Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Thus we are made to understand that the glory of the Lord is in his goodness and his mercy, which he is pleased to show to the sons of men in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the express image of his person. It is in Christ that all of the knowledge of God, which is possible for men to grasp, is found. But it is impossible that sinful men could begin to have a true appreciation of this revelation until they are made to see the dire condition they are in as aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, being rebel sinners whose fists are raised against the Lord of glory. By nature, men will not bow the knee to a sovereign God who dispenses mercy as he alone sees fit. They will worship the gods of their own imagination. They will assume that he can be reasoned with according to their own standard of justice and righteousness. The natural man finds no wonder in the mercy of God, because he thinks that God should show mercy to him, and that the Lord regards sin as lightly as he does. Yet when a man is born again by the Spirit of God, in the time and place of God's own choosing, he is made to shudder before a broken law, and to tremble at the prospect of standing before the judge of all the earth, covered from head to foot in filthy rags. He is slain before God, as Paul describes, "For I was alive without the law once," that is, he was in ignorance of the true holiness of the law. But when the commandment came, that is, when a true revelation of the law and the lawgiver came, sin revived. That is, I saw myself be a condemned sinner, and I died. That is, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. That same Spirit, granting the gift of faith to those so slain, overwhelms them with the wonder of his mercy and the taste of his forgiveness, striking in them an abiding sense of awe, that he would take them in his arms and love them who had willingly disobeyed him without true regard to his holiness. As the psalmist says, "There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." This fear of God causes them to desire to depart from evil, which thing the terrors of the law could never do. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Do you fear him who is a consuming fire?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.